Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network. Hey everybody, it's The Voice, and I am here at Kemp's. I'm not at home yet again for like the third or fourth week in a row. I am on the road recording the show, and I'll be honest, it's all these shows have been recorded in the span of about 18 hours. So, it's been a fun 18 hours, let me put it that way. But we are here, we're in the fine town of Lexington. There's a carnival of some sorts going on right outside the door. Maybe we can get like elephant ear or something afterwards to soak up some of the alcohol. We shall see. But welcome everybody. It's great to have you listening, and we are brought to you by Distill Brewery. And Distill was founded in Bloomington, Illinois, and has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. From the Wild Sour line to the Barrel-Aged St. Decara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone. With options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Badania, Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor, drink Distill. All right, and we want you guys to drink while we're drinking. So the drinking game is in effect for you drunkomaniacs. Anytime one of us swears, that's a drink. Anytime there's an audible expulsion of gas, that is a drink. Anytime there is a pop culture reference or an audible impression of somebody, that's a drink. Anytime the word of the day is said, you gotta take a drink then too. And we'll make the word of the day Kemp's. That work for you?
Sounds good.
All right. So we've got a crew assembled here. I'm going to let everybody go around the table and introduce themselves so that way you guys can get familiar whose voice belongs to who. We'll start with straight across from me. It's his dojo that he brought us into to record the show here. Been trying to set up a recording here for a while, and we finally made it happen, and you'll find out why here shortly, but go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
John Kemp, owner of Kemp's Upper Tap here. I thank Dustin, Drunken Lullabies, for coming to Kemp's fucking Upper Tap, so go ahead and drink.
There you go.
Right to my right, Jason, want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Jason Williams, the talent buyer at the Castle Theater in Bloomington, Illinois. I was out here hanging out with some friends of ours, and I actually happen to live in Lexington, so this is a very short walk home for me. It's
there we go.
Nice. Shit.
Kale Beecher, executive chef here, Happy Swine, Kemp's, Public Hall. Here to drink some beer, talk some music, chug this.
Yep. That'll be next, don't you worry.
I'm Matthew Curry, a wannabe guitar player. And I would also like to say ass.
Okay. All right. Those are fine introductions, guys. All right. Well, now that you know who we all are and we've introduced the drinking game, it's time for us to play our drinking game. I'm referring to what I like to call spin the bottle.
Max is fired up, so come on. Drink it all night long. Slam it, girl. 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 Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Gone from dial, no. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Gone from dial, no. Pound that beer.
All right, Kale, guess what? You get to chug. So you are chugging today. Spin the Bottle is brought to you brought to you today, but it's brought to all of us by Iron Spike Brewing Company in Galesburg, Illinois. And this week, you'll be chugging the Flatback IPA, which for the chugging beers, that's the strongest one there is. So you're welcome. All right, well, do it to it, sir.
Does it feel very cold?
It's actually good if it's not super cold if you're chugging it. The colder it is, the harsher it is on the throat. There you go.
And a what?
Good job.
All right.
All good. Well, now it's time for us to drink these beers here and us to enjoy a little bit. Well,
how was that?
Pretty good. It wasn't the eyes watery. Not too watery.
He has IPA coming out of his eyelids.
Well, we're starting with it's the Cahoots Brewing.
Cahoots Brewing, yep.
And this is the Crisp, which let's see. I'm guessing it's those ones right there.
Yep.
All right, we'll pass those around. And let me pull up some info here. It is 5%, and Cahoots is out of Oak Park, Illinois. I'm not super familiar with them.
Just west of downtown Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of their stuff is barrel-aged. They're starting to do more non-barrel-aged stuff. This is one of theirs. Actually brewed at Church Street.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
They gypsy brewed it, yep.
It says, Crisp is our take on an enjoyable and easy drinking ale brewed in the Kolsch style that originated over 100 years ago in Cologne, Germany. A soft and slightly sweet malt profile combines with the floral and spicy old world noble hops to provide just the right amount of balanced bitterness. So heartily enjoy this subtle and nuanced ale with a refreshingly crisp and clean finish. Prost. So, that's what it says.
Yeah, super gateway, crisp, a little more carbonation than usual.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Drink up. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a kind of a hot day. It's supposed to be like mid-90s. I figured Kolsch would be a good choice for a day like this.
It tastes a bit like an Aaron Spike. Just a hint. Hint.
Now, the reason we've assembled everybody here today is there's an event coming up very soon, like in a matter of a week. It is, if you're listening to this, the day it came out, it's July 2nd. We're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July. We're going to drink a bunch of beers, but we want you to know there's a really cool event coming up, and you guys know all the details, so plug it away.
Yeah. You know, I've known John a long time, and John's been putting on the Street Fest here in Lexington with local bands. And this year, John approached me and wanted to do something a little bit different this year. And so we hit up Mr. Curry over here, and another great band called the Steepwater Band. So you know, both bands have amazing followings in the area. Matthew's a Bloomington native, and you know, has made a name for himself nationally and internationally with some amazing tours that he's been privileged to go on. So to bring these two bands to Lexington, and their crowd is super into obviously Kemp's and the whole craft beer thing is huge with this fan base. So it all just kind of married a lot of really cool things together, and it's going to be a pretty badass night, I think.
Yeah, we've done the Street Fest of that caliber probably for about 6 years now.
Yeah, I was going to ask how long it's been
going different.
On.
I mean, we've had cover bands, and finally me and Kayla are like, you know what, fuck it. Let's throw a Street Fest we want to go to. Yeah. Like the music we
take a step
to.
Up.
Yeah, so I knew just the person to go to, Jason. We asked about Curry, and then Kayla's a big Steepwater Band fan, so he's like, you know what, it'd be fucking badass if we get both these together. Jason's like, funny you say that. I can probably make that happen. Like, holy shit. You know, and just kind of, he got the ball rolling, and we're super stoked. I think it's going to be a great turnout. That style of music is basically what plays on our homemade playlists every day. So it's going to be a match made in heaven. Can't wait. So it's going to be good. Like, we have White Oak will actually be doing craft beer outside as well. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of an event.
Yeah. So there you go. You heard it. You need to be here. There's no reason for you not to be if you're a local drunken maniac. If you're out in California, I understand. Plane
that.
Tickets are expensive.
You
know.
It's after the 4th. Ticket prices go down. Yeah. Don't give me that.
But yeah, this Kolsch, I am enjoying this. It's yeah. Like you said, it's a crusher.
It's a crusher. It's a gateway. It's a...
I'm spilling already.
We have people come up to us, so what do you have that's, like, domestic? Because we don't have any domestics on tap. I'm like, try this.
Yep.
It's a crusher. It's a gateway. Next few times they'll come up, they're not ordering a domestic or trying to.
Right. It's, yeah, and it's good to have, you know, one or two options like that on a tap wall. Now, yep. How many beers do you have on tap here?
We have 21 on tap.
Okay.
Yep. 21 on tap.
And
all craft. What's that?
And outside.
Well, and outside, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we had 5 outside as well. So
nice.
Yep. During the summer, possible 26.
What about during the winter? No?
You can. We were thinking about throwing an actual Winterfest if it ever snowed anymore in Illinois.
Yeah, right.
To open it up on a Saturday once, you know. So... Not complaining about that.
No,
I would not.
And how long has Kim's Upper Tap been open here?
We've been open in this location 19 months. We were 12 years down at the old place.
Okay.
So, yeah, going on 14.
Nice.
Yeah, so, yep, it's been good. Started in a little shoebox and built a little bit bigger, pretty much.
Now, did you ever think this is what you were going to be doing when you were a teenager?
No.
No. What did you aspire
to? Well, even the first couple of years of camps, it was a 5-year plan to move back to Chicago. So we're sitting here
at year
14. So I think it worked out okay. You know?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, good. Something else that worked out okay is we've got our artist of the week sitting here drinking beer with us. That's always nice when that can happen. And we're going to play some of your songs. But I figure, you know, we could get the listeners a little more insight since, you know, you wrote it. If anybody knows anything about the song, I would hope it'd be you. The first one we're going to play,
I might have just left Kemp's when I was writing. Right. I might have.
Is Caroline from the Shine On release, which came out last year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Caroline was started as a guitar riff. To be honest, I think I was still in high school when I wrote that that kind of guitar melody. I believe I was cutting class and you know, screwing around on the guitar. One of my favorite things to do, not be in school and play music. It's obviously about a young guy in a relationship with a young lady that the father of the young lady does not approve of.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of songs out there with the same storyline, but I had to see what I could do with something like that. And
your own.
It's a rocker, and we enjoy playing it.
I was just getting ready to say that. It's definitely a solid rocker. That's why I kind of picked that one first, just to, you know, kick the door open and get things going right at the top of the show. So... All right, well, we're going to finish our crisp Kolsch's. Well, mine's already gone. chug it, Kale. And we'll let you guys...
fucking beer.
We'll let you guys listen to Caroline here on Drunken Lullabies.
Stole a kiss.
so we run away into the night. Well, so we can be out of sight. Her daddy told me stay away. I couldn't leave alone another day. He said, boy, I'm gonna get my gun. So I get my loving on the run. The side of the road. My hands are all up in her dress. Yes, I love that girl, I must confess. I see those eyes in my sleep. Well, she's gonna bring it home to me. Her daddy told me stay away. I couldn't leave her alone another day. He said, boy, I'm gonna get my. So I get my loving on the run.
Well, we didn't lie. That was a rocker. So hopefully you guys are feeling good. And I think this next beer is going to make us feel pretty good. Only 5.6%. It is the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And that is a drink because that is a Guy Ritchie movie. So that's a reference right there, pop culture style. This is from Buckle Down Brewing out of Lyons, Illinois. And it's a collab with our friends at White Oak. And there's really not much more information than that on Untappd. There's literally only two check-ins for this beer, so yeah. It's pretty new, I would say.
Yeah, we.
I hadn't even heard of it, so.
You right.
So we contacted Buckle Down and White Oak. Just got a group text going with boys at Buckle Down and boys at White Oak. And we're like, you know what? They're both really good friends of ours. Mm-hmm. Let's do a collaboration beer. We can go up and brew.
Yeah.
Me and Kale never brewed before.
Okay.
So they went up, Brian and Scott from White Oak went up and brainstormed, aka drank their faces off and maybe talked about beer.
That's fun.
And then came back and neither brewery had made ESB before. So both of them had English descents and they're like, you know what, let's do an ESB. So the hops they used were, or the malts they used were from over in England, pretty straightforward. ESB, we went up the first part of May to brew, and we learned that there's a shit ton of downtime when brewing.
Yeah.
20 minutes of work, 90 minutes of waiting, and for guys that aren't used to that, and what do you do when you're in a tap room that's closed and pour your beer, you drink your face off.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we went up there first part of May and brewed this, and basically got to pour our own beers at the brewery while we waited. It was fun, saw the experience.
For 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
So, and then they came down here into May and did a release party and did tap takeovers, both breweries collaborating.
Nice.
And then Buckle Down did a firkin of the same beer and just dry hopped it. So, yeah, it was good. It's pretty straightforward ESB, 5.6, easy drinker, a lot more bitter than the previous one. So,
yeah,
enjoy it.
Yeah.
The name they wanted us to come up with, so that was our. Kind of our help contribution to the brew. So like English, like Guy Ritchie films, like Lock, Stock.
You don't want to call the beer Snatch.
No. Look. So we jokingly text Brian, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, as in look into that for inspiration. He goes, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, nobody's had that registered yet. I'm like, how the fuck has no one had that registered yet? Because the two breweries collaborating.
Yeah, I think
There was one.
There was
New
something
England,
that was close.
It was like a New England brewing school that had it or something like that, but they checked it out. And
yeah, the only thing, if you, and we've talked about this on the show before, it's tough to find beer names that are creative that haven't been thought of because there's just so many people mm-hmm. brewing craft beer now. Yeah, there's Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Sounds like trying to come up with a band name.
Yeah.
See, exactly.
Lock, Stock, and a Sour Barrel. Yeah. And yeah, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, Two Smoking Barrels. But yeah, you guys are smoking, and there's a Lock, Stock, and Barrel Stout that's out of production. So, you know, it works, and it's not a mass-produced beer.
No.
So you don't really have to worry about stepping on anybody's toes.
No, not at all. I think there was, maybe 20 kegs is all they were doing?
Yeah.
It was small. Yeah. Yeah. Small circulation of it. So.
Yeah, 15 to 20.
Yeah. Yep.
So this one, when did you guys put this
May
on?
26th.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's relatively new.
Nice.
Yeah, yep.
Well, if you guys want to try this super rare collabo beer, you know where to come to check it out. And if you come, you should come when the event's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whether it's still on by then, that's another story.
Yeah, we will. We got a certain amount of kegs.
Perfect. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You know what your first round will be when you,
exactly.
when you come for the party. Now, you work at the castle. You book all the bands. So you are in charge of who's coming through town. Are there any bands that you've really wanted to bring in that has just never worked out, like a bucket list of... I mean, you brought some solid bands. I couldn't believe Ghost played there.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic show. Excellent. Sold out.
I can't take credit for that one.
Okay.
But,
well, I was going to give it to you.
No. A good friend of mine, John Ugolini, who owns Kickstand Productions in Chicago,
okay.
that show. And he's been a big part of the theater, too. Booked a lot of those. But that show was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, Ghost, that was audio, the visual of it. That show was just, it was unreal. As far as a bucket list band, man, there's...
Barry Manilow.
Yeah. Neil Diamond.
The Huge,
yeah. I mean, it's so weird because, you know, I've been involved in other places other than just the castle, you know, doing stuff like the Corn Crib, the baseball stadium, and Normal. So it's like, there's so many different bands that you want to work with, but they're all on different levels, you know?
Right.
Like, they fit in this size room or this size room, but... I would say the band that, like, early on when the castle first opened that I really, really wanted to get in there that was still borderline at the time was Deftones.
Okay.
But they're way too big for that now. But,
that'd be a quick sellout.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, that's not a problem,
no.
But yeah.
I mean, ultimate bucket list to ever work with in my life would be Foo Fighters, but that would be amazing, but... I have been
lucky. They played the Cubby Bear.
Yeah,
I think the castle will fit a little more.
It's about the same size wise. Yeah.
So
we've had Chevelle in there. We've had Lee Bryce before he got into the arena level played at the castle. And a lot of cool acts. One of my favorite shows actually was the first time we had Kenny Wayne Shepherd in.
Okay.
And Matthew actually opened that show.
I was gonna say that seems like a bill you would fit.
That was
funny. Nicely.
You were still in high school, I think, at the time, or maybe just graduated, because that was 2012.
Oh, I was still in high school.
Yeah. So Matt was just starting to get on the scene, and it was, honestly, their paths at the time were very similar, you know, he was kind of in that young blues rocker guitarist thing where Kenny was when Kenny first started, so I was like, shit, this only makes sense. And it worked out awesome. I mean, Matt killed it, and the crowd loved it. And you know, Matt, you know, comes and plays the theater a couple times a year now, and rocks it every time. So that's one of my favorite shows.
And I'm a Peoria guy, so for our shows, that I'm assuming you played Blues Fest on the riverfront.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, because if you haven't, that seems like a huge oversight on the booking committee.
I don't book Blues Fest, by the way.
Well, actually, a couple of the guys that I play with are from Peoria.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Perfect. Because, the Limelight, that's usually, if a band's coming through in Peoria, that's where I'm going. But more often than not, I'm driving to the Castle. I was very stoked about a recent show announcement, Guided by Voices, coming in August, I believe.
Yes, August.
That's a good entertaining time. I've been to a couple of their shows, and
my buddy John that I mentioned a bit ago booked that show also, and he said that it'll be a battle between the people in the crowd and the band on who can drink more beer that night. Yeah,
the last time I saw them, Bob Pollard passed a bottle of tequila into the crowd.
Yep.
And was just sharing it with everybody. I did not partake. You never know what people have. Community bottle. I know alcohol, you know, sterilizes somewhat, but I don't know who's got what.
What is this bump?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I got it in a Guided by Voices show.
Shit.
All right, well, on that note, there's no way to transition.
Speaking of bump on lip.
The next song we're going to play is called Love Me Right.
Yeah!
So, can you tell us a little bit about that track before we go into it?
Well, it's basically, it's a classic tale, again, a kind of a thing, we've all had the experience of it not working out between yourselves and the significant other, like you expected it to, and you're trying and trying, and it just, you know, at some point it's time to just go ahead and call it quits. But this is one that, to me, musically, I was really heavy into the Black Crowes at the time.
Okay.
So I was kind of going for kind of a, I guess you'd say, a Southern rock type vibe on this one. So, and, you know, the whole bump on lip type vibe.
Don't look at me on that one. All right. Well, on that note, let's listen to it now. Matthew Curry, this is Love Me Right here on Drunken Lullabies.
You hurt me, why do you tear me down? I'm tired of all
and we've got more beer. We are gonna make them say, "Oh,
na na na,
na na na."
That was not an expulsion of gas.
No, it wasn't. This is 8% ABV. It is an Imperial / Double IPA, and this is from Microphone. We've featured a lot of Microphone lately, and they're for good reason. This is juicy looking for sure. Description: it's double dry hop, double IPA with El Dorado, Mosaic, and Matuka?
Matuka.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that hop.
New Zealand?
There's so many damn hops to keep track of. But the flavor profile on it, it's citrus, juicy, smooth, and apparently pineapple.
There is some pineapple.
Dude's doing it right. Yeah, so up at Microphone, we picked it up, and my buddy goes up to buy it, asks, you know, because there's bottle limits on different shit. He goes, "How much, what's the limit on, say, the guy at the register's like, "No limit." It's no limit. Like, No Limit Studios. So it's like, "You motherfucker." Guys just starts laughing. It's like, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, being called Microphone, most of their beers are music themed.
Yeah, almost all of them. Yeah,
it's like unsweetened.
But yeah, this
it's good.
You look at the bottle, you would think this is going to be a stout.
Oh yeah.
Just something about the label.
Chocolate
art,
coffee, something. Yeah,
it looks like it's going to be a heavy beer, and then you pour it, and it's
just OJ.
Yeah, OJ.
sneaky ass OJ.
You definitely get the pineapple in it though.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Now, what's your style of choice? I'm a huge hophead.
I'm a hophead. So yeah, if I had to choose between any of them,
sours.
He's sour, yeah, Kale sour.
That's my second. So
yep.
I go in like beer is like music for me. Like I go in spurts. Okay. Like I'll be like super on an IPA or something like that for a long, or like really really hoppy shit, and then sometimes I'll just switch and I
have your pills
like,
for your period.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that tonight.
I don't have periods. Thank you.
I'm going to use that tonight. Somebody.
Maybe that'll be the show title.
God.
But I appreciate you sharing this. Because this is amazing. You can only get it at the bottle shop.
Yeah, they don't distribute.
How much did this one run? I know their prices vary a little bit.
May have been drinking a bit and bought a lot of bottles, a lot of gear, and a lot of glassware, so I could not tell you how much it was.
Because yeah,
I would guess 25-ish, maybe.
Sounds about right.
Maybe 20.
The stronger ones are a little, little more expensive. Like I said, recently we've had the I Want My IPA. That was one of the lower end ones, if I remember right. And then Smells Like Bean Spirit, which we were talking earlier.
Yeah, that is
Nirvana coffee maple.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We were just talking earlier. They hired a barrel guy that's going to be doing all their barrel programs. So that barrel's going to be one of the hottest beers once that hits. And then the year after that, once everybody trades for it and has tried it, we're totally fucked. They won't get Microphone.
Uh huh.
That's pretty much how that'll work out.
Yeah. I still have yet to go up there, but I've had friends go and generous.
Elk Grove.
Elk Grove.
Yeah. Yep. About 30 minutes outside of Chicago. Solid.
That's in north. Right?
Yes.
Northern suburbs.
Yeah. It's maybe 40 seats, if that. It's not real big.
Okay.
Yeah. They got the bottle cooler. And
it's kind of like Solemn Oath then. Solemn Oath isn't very big either.
And it's back in a place just like Solemn Oath. You're like, there cannot be a tap room back here.
No, that's
like, where the hell are we at? Yeah. And all of a sudden it's like,
and there it is.
There it is. Well, that's that line outside. That's gotta be where it's at.
Exactly. All right, well I'm not pounding this. I'm gonna drink this one slowly. I'm gonna take my time with this one. But while we do that, we're gonna let you guys listen to an ad for another show on the FCF Network. Let's hear from Kevin and Steph from the Let's Try This podcast here on the FCF Network.
Hey folks, this is Kevin from Let's Try This, a podcast with me and my wife, Steph, where you will find out that we are anything but the conventional couple. We tackle subjects like professional wrestling, reality TV, and we'll be trying new things like weirdo healthy foods from the section you pass in the grocery store. We think we're funny sometimes, well, at least I do, so we hope you think we're funny too. You can find Let's Try This on the Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network at fcfnetwork.com, as well as all of your favorite podcast apps. Let's try this, because why not?
Do you love it loud? Then plan to attend the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo, one-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, Kiss, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet and greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collected Soul, Ty Kettle, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockinPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Feast your ears!
My buddy in the backseat. It was like, kind of like my bachelor party is what we went on. 2 days in Chicago and then stopped the microphone on the way back. We popped bottles of Seance. Going out of the parking lot, and we're blasting Master P.
Well, that's considered proper.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like we cannot be the first ones to do this. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, that's good.
It tastes like hop, grapefruit, orange juice.
Yes, it's sneaky.
It's 8%. Yeah, mm-hmm. You sit and drink enough of it, it's going to knock you on your ass.
Well, say you're at home. You're committed to that. I mean, you got to drink the whole thing. You're not going to leave it sit there.
See, I'm not. I'm only committed to half of it because my girlfriend, she likes all the same beer I do. So we get a six-pack. I only get 3 of those.
See, that's
sometimes I only get 2.
You're lucky.
If she drinks faster than me.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we share beer, you know. Couples that chug together stay together.
I can't get my wife to drink anything but fucking Coors Light or Bud Light.
Well, we're going to...
Occasionally, she'll live on the edge and drink a Blue Moon.
Well, you should have her drink a Distill Weisenheimer Hefeweizen.
Look at you plugging like a motherfucker.
Instead of a Blue Moon.
Aren't we on break?
Oh, no. It's all recorded. He's going to edit that in. It's going to be great.
We're going to do that. We're just going to go with it. So, our next beer, we've got the Big Thorn Farms. Mm-hmm. The Sassafras.
Sassafras IPA. Yeah, yep.
What can you tell me about this one while I look it up here?
So Big Thorn Farm, Anna and Aaron, couple started it. We've only had them for probably about 5 months. Super, super cool, off the grid, all solar power, Georgetown, Illinois, a little bit south of Danville. They forge on their own property. So
kind of like scratch.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
The only thing is they're not butted up against the Shawnee National Forest. There will be no Chanterelle IPA, none of that. Yeah. But all their logs and everything, we've had, this is of course Sassafras IPA, cherry log wit, a lot of their sours, all the logs they'll either smoke on their property, put it in fresh, but the ginger in their beers, the thyme in their beers, all the herbs is from their property. So super cool. He was a brewer at JT Walker's, head brewer for a while, and then left. Anna worked at Blind Pig, so she kind of cut her teeth in craft beer there. And then they started this. Georgetown, a little bit south of Danville. So very unique beers, but and their sour program is something. Yeah.
You can vouch for it?
Yeah, their sour program is legit. We got a rhubarb sour we're going to put on probably next 2 weeks that nice. Can't wait.
But oh, that's the one they
That's the one sitting, still conditioning. So, but it's only a 3-barrel system. So they're cranking out some beer just for that.
Now, do they have a tap room?
Nothing.
Or
nope.
It's just distributed.
And it even says, I think on their website, it says not open to public. Like, it's their home.
Yeah.
That's what they're brewing out
it
of.
It says they're a nano brewery is what it's listed.
Yeah.
Under.
I mean, but what they're cranking out, I mean, they hired a saleswoman, just met her this week. So they're starting to branch out where they need extra employees, which is awesome. But it's also cool to see the people to brew your beer.
It was obviously just a hobby, and it expanded.
Started as a homebrewer, like the majority of all of them. Yeah. So,
very cool. Well,
yeah, very unique. Yeah.
Yeah, the nose on it, definitely, it's got an interesting profile that, you know, when you told me how it's made, and that's like, okay, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
It's a little earthier than, you know, the Saint Anne.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell this one's a little more complex in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first one I've had from them, and I'm now intrigued and want to try more.
I tried the cherry with
Secret Hour
at one point.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, Benny's, Friar Tuck. I know Wilmington has them. I don't know if they've reached Peoria yet.
So they do bottles.
They do bottles, yeah. Bombers, it's all Bombers.
Okay.
And then Draft. I know there's a few accounts. I don't know if there's a lot in Wilmington. Champagne, just because they're close.
Yeah.
They won beer of the fest at the first annual Muhammad Beer Festival.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if they were down at Pigs and Swigs in Lincoln, but they're starting to get out. And they're winning awards. So.
Cool.
Yeah. But.
Now, Matthew, we were talking about beer of choice. When you're playing a club, I know usually you get drink tickets, but you don't get good craft beer tickets typically.
He hasn't played at Kemp's yet. Wait a minute.
So when you're playing a show, what typically are you imbibing?
You know, man, beforehand of a show, I typically drink water, as lame as it sounds.
No, that makes sense before, yeah.
And especially singing, you know, you don't want to walk up on stage all
full. Right.
But, you know, if it's a club that's only serving domestics, I, you know, Midwest boy, I go to Budweiser, you know.
But,
typically anything that's cold.
Usually helps.
Yeah. I'll drink it.
It didn't matter over here with chugging that.
I'm telling you, I have chugged ice cold beers.
I think it's harder than
real. It burns.
Yeah, it's rough. So we've learned to.
A nice hoppy IPA, warm, is pretty hairy.
Yeah. We've learned to let them sit for a little bit. Get not room temperature, but at least
damn near. Yeah. Not hurt temperature, pretty much.
Yeah. So yeah, I am really, really liking this. Mm-hmm. You know, Sassafras, when I saw the name, I thought maybe it was just, you know, that's just a name.
No, yeah, it's
legit.
If you're reading it from them, that's in it. I think we got a Orange Time Wit coming from those guys. The rhubarb is still conditioning that we got. I'm trying to think what else we got. Citrus Sour. It'll be the second round of that. The first 6 barrel went, I think, in a day and a half. I mean, it was quick. And their sours aren't, like, overbearing. Yeah. I mean, it's sour enough to you're, like, sour lovers love it.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you have some people just trying to get into sours, it's very approachable.
It's very approachable.
But it's also a hit. I mean, they had the Citrus Sour we had was amazing. So
I'm going to have to add that to my wish list.
Yeah.
On Untappd to keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah.
Now, we've got one more song from our guest artist of the week, Mr. Matthew Curry. Before we get into that, I know we've mentioned you playing the event here. Do you have any other upcoming dates that people could see you perform at, or, you know, just where people can find your music?
Well, it's real easy to find the music. You can go to MatthewCurry.com, and of course we're on iTunes and Amazon, all that good stuff. And obviously the website shows all the upcoming tour dates. We're actually getting ready to head down to the southeast here pretty soon, which it's just going to be brutally hot, I'm sure. And we're doing a lot of outdoor things. So.
Sponsored by Gold Bond.
The southeast in the summer. Yeah. Home of Swamp Ass.
Who the fuck booked this?
But we're really excited. We're really excited to come home and do the Lexington Street Fest with Steve Water Band and be working with these great guys here, and hopefully you know, everybody enjoys our music and is willing to put up with this for a little while.
I think most people will be.
We're gonna have bellies full of craft beer. We're gonna be gold.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're gonna play one more song, and going with a favorite of mine and my girlfriend's, and that is "If I Don't Got You." And what can you tell us about that song before we listen to it?
Well, I'm a little surprised it's your favorite. It's an old one.
It is. An oldie but a goodie. You know?
Man, I think I wrote that when I was 12 or 13.
I can't remember what the hell I was doing when I was 12 or 13. That's
not right,
crazy.
We can probably guess, but
we don't need to discuss it on the podcast.
That's a separate podcast. I get it.
That is a different channel.
Kemp finds himself.
You know,
what?
Sorry, Matt.
That's one that obviously about a girl, and you're, you know, basically a woman that you want really bad. You know, to me, it's just, it's always refreshing to hear anybody say that they like any of that stuff off the first album, because I was so young when I wrote it.
Well, and how old are you now? Because, I mean, you still look young to me.
22.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I've never had to card anybody for an episode.
Son of a bitch, don't mention that. Neither did I.
This is the closest one I've ever came to. So, no, it's good. The training wheels are off.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, you know, I was first getting into songwriting about that time, you know, between 11 and 13. Obviously, you know, so when I listen back to what I did, then I'm like, oh, it's no good, man. Why did I even release that? Why did
I even... inducing at the time, like, just, do you have songs in your catalog that you're like, God?
Oh, I like 100 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's plenty that aren't released, you know.
Right, so, right.
I guess the golden rule for me of songwriting is you're going to have to write a lot of shit to get one gem.
That's true, yeah.
And so you just keep plugging away, but I just listened back to that, and I obviously wasn't very mature as a songwriter, a singer, or a guitar player. I didn't think, anyway. But so, you know, thank you. It's refreshing to hear somebody.
Yeah.
Because I was just telling the guys in the bands a couple weeks ago, man, I wish I could just wipe that album off the face of the earth, man. Nobody had to listen to that anymore.
And if you want to hear it, you can go to Spotify.
Yeah. And if you want to buy it.
Yeah.
You don't want your fractions of a penny for your writing?
Yeah. Yeah,
no
kidding.
No, I always, you know, people talk about that with Spotify, that, you know, it hinders album sales, which is probably true for some people, but even like I was in college during the whole Napster thing, it led to me buying more albums because I was using it as a sampling thing, which is kind of what it was quote unquote intended for, wink wink nudge nudge, but like I would find new bands and it's like, oh, I really dig this, I need it on vinyl, or I need to buy the CD. And that's how I am. Most of the bands we feature on the show, I find online, I find on Spotify, and I seek them out because we only feature indie musicians. We don't play anybody on a major label. All the bands that are featured on the show have given permission, and I've had conversations with, and they support what we're doing, and we support them, and you know, that's how it should be. So I always encourage everybody to, you know, check out the music. We play 3 songs a show. So you get an idea if you're going to dig somebody's music. And yeah, go to the website. Go to, you know, their Bandcamp page. Buy the album digitally. Pick up a physical copy if you're an old timer like me and you like having a tangible physical copy.
That's so crazy to see these, like, you talk about this with these trends. You know, obviously I see a lot of different types of bands mm-hmm. coming through the theater, and then, I mean, even in my family too, you know, my younger brother is a fairly well-known, large, independent hip-hop artist.
Why don't you give him a plug?
Futuristic.
Okay, there you go.
But, like, you're talking about the streaming and how it's a discovery tool.
Yeah.
His music is proof that people still buy records.
Yeah.
especially with his demo. You know,
I was going to say, I think a lot of it has to do with the style of music you play.
It does.
The crowd it attracts. I ran a record store for 10 years. I ran Co-op Records in Pekin, yeah. Illinois. The last co-op still selling music, by the way. So, just saying. but yeah, you would see certain genres, people still bought the music. Yeah. Hip-hop was not necessarily one of those.
What's crazy is, I mean, his streams are through the roof.
Yeah.
But his album sales are still huge.
Yeah.
Like, which is a testament that if people truly do like the music, they will find a way to buy it at some point.
You want it in your hand.
You want it. Yeah. Even if it's buying it off of iTunes or whatever it is, and that's what most of his sales are, digital. But, you know, his age demo is 15-year-olds
exactly.
to 22-year-olds, the people that...
My daughter doesn't. She's 15.
Yeah.
She only gets CDs if I buy them for her.
Right.
You know, she listens...
How do you play this?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
That's what, damn it.
Big labels and stuff look at, though, at least from what I've experienced, is they don't... You know, it's... Well, it's about asses and seats, but it's also how many Facebook likes do you have?
Yeah.
How many people are following you on Spotify? And that's
YouTube,
just
and
that's
great.
And that's how it works now. And
5 years ago was
totally different.
Yeah.
And that yeah.
And you gotta keep up with it. You
know? Well, that's why nobody in the industry
knows. What
nobody has any idea what
the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, and then you look at it with a lot of the, and I'm sure you see it with some of these bands that you interview with on the indie scene. Mm-hmm. The mediums of the music are the old stuff's coming back. The vinyls is huge again. Even in some of the indie rock stuff, the cassettes are coming back.
Yeah,
which is really, really
I
weird.
I have not seen that. That's very good.
Dude, I've seen in the last 3 months.
God,
I've seen at least 10 bands at the castle that sell cassettes.
If I love an album, I'll buy vinyl.
Yeah.
Full circle.
What happened is vinyl was popular with the quote hipster crowd, and then everybody started
cassettes.
Buying vinyl. So now we got to move on. What's after vinyl?
Now they're
going
to have a number
thing is,
but, hey, when that happens, though, they're going to have a number two pencil
right,
to fucking run
exactly.
it when it gets stretched out. And they don't know what that is because it's all online.
We have a lot of bands at the castle that literally don't even sell CDs.
Yeah,
they sell their their merch, their shirts, and all that whatever else. And the only things they sell for music are vinyl.
Yeah.
And the vinyl
will
come with a download code.
And then I burn my own CD
right.
because I drive a Ford Taurus that doesn't have Bluetooth capabilities. So
Buick Rendezvous with no Bluetooth, baby. I got it too.
So I still listen to CDs, and I don't have a record player in my car. So yeah, if I'm listening to music, I'm either putting my iPhone in a cup holder and making a janky ghetto-ass speaker, or I'm listening to a CD. So.
Love it.
All right. Well, if you guys are listening to the podcast on your iPhone in your cup holder, crank this bitch up. We're going to take it back to the early days, and this is If I Don't Got You here on Drunken Lullabies.
my day. And when I'm feeling the blues, baby, you take my blues away. And down to bumming down, not gonna act like it's wrong. Not gonna beg for your love, just gonna sing a song. If I don't got you, baby, then I got no one at all. If I don't got you, if I don't got you, baby, you ain't got no one at all. If I don't got you, yeah, 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 whoa.
All right, and now it is time for what we've all been waiting for. I'm finally contributing beer to the show that everybody else gets to enjoy. Not just Kale. So it is now time for the Distill Sponsor Spotlight.
Hip hop, my voice is like a monster. And now a word from my sponsor.
Okay, this week we are having the Amra, the Mango IPA. This is one of the new additions to the canning line. So you can find this on the shelves in 19 states across the country. So, side note, it just became apparent to us, every beer we drank is from the state of Illinois. So we kept it all in-house, Land of Lincoln style, all Illinois all day, baby.
This was planned at, 8 a.m. of what we were going to...
Yeah, I was just picking beers off the list.
Yeah, I was like, I'll do this,
Didn't even think about it. Well, because, you know, I wasn't familiar with Big Thorn. I wasn't even sure where they were from. So, yeah, that worked out well. But this Amra, it is Sanskrit for mango. So that's where the name comes from. It intertwines fruity hop characters of a West Coast-style IPA with the fruitiness of juicy, juicy mangoes, resulting in an elaborate and psychedelic tapestry of flavors that were absolutely destined for each other in this beer. Cheers. Like I said, 7%. So
that's 7 on that.
I don't
now?
Know if that description describes the beer better or the can better. Because I mean, that's
juicy.
I see juicy California psychedelic and
fruity,
that fucking
hoppy,
can.
Sweet, light, and mango. And Jeremy.
well done, boys.
Jeremy does a
Jeremy
great job.
Is fantastic.
He does
at the graphic
job, yeah.
Design.
Psychedelic chemistry.
Shout out to Wicked Stash, Jeremy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Wicked Stash is right. Yeah, he does. He does great work. We got a event coming up, and just threw him some ideas, and within 20 minutes, he shot an email back. It's like, here you go. I'm
here's
like,
a poster.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a very good job.
Yeah, Jeremy's a great guy. So yeah, this is the Mango IPA. It's, you know, it's a good summer drinking beer. Like we were talking, I'm a hophead. You're a hophead. Sometimes you want something that's got a little extra, so it's got that fruity kick that, you know, may be a little more refreshing than a bitter punch you in the face.
That was not 7% last year. I think it came out like
6%
last year.
7% now, sir.
Because you said 7, like, what the
I know,
fuck? No
way. I had to double check because I pulled it up and I was like, I don't remember this beer being 7%.
Yeah.
So yeah, they took it up a notch. It seems like it'd be a session.
Well, we had to take over with Pipeworks last year, and that's when this first came out.
Well, was that the Downstate?
Yeah, Downstate versus Downtown.
I was going to come out for that, and something came up.
There may have been some nerds here represented, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think it was like 6 or 6.5.
Okay.
Because it was like, all right, yeah, approachable, not a session, but crusher. You say 7, now it's like, well, now you got to watch how many you have out of the 6-pack.
Uh-huh.
Can you have 2? Can you have 3? Can you have 4?
We established I only get 3 of them.
Well,
so,
you're fine.
So I'm fine.
I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I'm with him.
Yeah.
Being screwed. All right. Well, while we finish this, I think it is time in the show now for us to go around the table. It is time for Picks of the Week. Time to select your favorite beer of the day. Let's run through the lineup. We started with the Kahoot Brewing Crisp Kolsch. God, that's a lot of C and K sounds. Then we had the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels from Buckle Down and White Oak. We followed that up with the microphone saying, and then the Big Thorn Farms Sassafras IPA, and then the Distill Amra Mango IPA. You also had a bonus beer.
You know that's going to be his vote. You know this, right?
Flatback
There's
IPA.
No taste there.
Yeah. That's usually, I don't think the Chug beer has ever been selected because, you know.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. That's what you're
saying. Because it's warm and he drank it really fast.
All right. Kemp, what you got?
Why do I got to be first?
Because you're across from me.
I would say, I mean, right now with the style, I'm a hophead, say,
Okay.
I mean, just that New England style, juicy hops in your face. Although the Sassafras IPA is a sneaky one, man. It's very solid, but if I had to have one, it'd be microphone.
Okay. What are you thinking?
Oh, you're staring me down like I a am. Crazy man. I'm with the Saya. It kind of put everything together for me. I love hops, but I love the citrus beers. So hands down, that's me. Okay. And I like Master P.
Yeah, it's hard to vote against Master
You're
P.
You're a no-limit soldier.
Did All you day, have, baby.
Did you have the talking doll?
I remember that shit.
He, like, pulled the string on the back.
They had talking dolls?
He did.
He marketed himself for a good 3 years, and then
he
had Little Romeo.
Wasn't he in Gone in 60 Seconds the with Nicolas Cage? Wasn't he in that movie?
And Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Nicolas Cage blew his car up or something.
See, Kale's more of a C murder fan.
See, what's funny? All those No Limit albums were out of print because it just folded.
Yeah.
So when those would get traded in at the store, those would actually go for a decent amount of money because you couldn't buy them new anymore. You could only get them used. those had like a premium used CD price. Your pick of the week, sir.
So like $3?
Iron Spike, Iron Spike, Iron Spike, Iron Spike, Iron Spike, Iron Spike, Iron Spike.
I have to say I have to say it.
Okay.
It's just the juiciness. It's my style. I mean, I'm a sour guy and I had kind of fruit tones and...
Fruit Tones, that's that band that you were wanting to play at the castle.
It sounds more like a band you were wanting to play.
I bet you can book them right now.
I mean, let's just be honest. I'm going to stop talking. I was going to say something mean. Then I remember this was recorded.
How about you, sir?
Was it the Lock Shock?
Lock Stock. Two Smoking Barrels.
That would be my pick.
Okay. Nice. So you're going down your own road. I like it. You're not... sticking with the herd.
No, to sell kegs of Lock Stock on stage, July 8th.
There we go.
We get an IV, actually.
Why is Curry slurring?
Yeah.
He was supposed to play 90 minutes, he played 9, and he fell down.
Extra zero. Fuck.
And I'm going to go
play the rest of these like Jeff Healey.
The name is Dalton. anytime I can work in a roadhouse or a place, I'll do it. I was debating between two. I had the Say On, but also that Sassafras IPA. But if I'm going to be honest, one is a lot more of a frequent drinker, I think, than the other. The Sassafras was solid. But that's not something I'm gonna drink every night. That Saint-Ange, I could drink that fucking every day.
And you could reorder it.
I mean, I can at $25 a bottle.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm not making that much money on a podcast. And also, I don't live in Chicago. There's no limit, obviously. Yeah. Yes. But IPA is the fresher, the better. So, that will be my pick for the week. So.
That Sassafras was pretty damn good.
Yeah, Sassafras was pretty solid.
They're doing good stuff, yeah.
All right, so that was our beer picks of the week. I've got some music picks of the week for you guys now. There's one new release came out on June 30th. Like I said, it's July 2nd now. Quote, it's July 2nd. I'm breaking the fourth wall here. But L-A-N-Y had a new album come out, so I highly recommend checking that one out. They just had a few EPs before. I bought them digitally and then burned them onto a CD because that was the only format they were available in.
Because you still live in 1998.
Yep. I'm from Pekin, Illinois.
Right? Yeah, Pekin, Illinois, my
fucker. Everybody's 10, 15 years behind. The other albums I've been listening to quite a bit, a band from overseas, Blood Command, really been digging their new album, Cult Drugs. I suggest you check that one out. And our friend Garrett Dale from Red City Radio, former band of the week, he just put out a new solo EP called the Two T's EP. It's only like three or four songs, but solid stuff. It's acoustic. It's not Red City Radio style, so that's why he's going it alone just for these few songs. But Red City Radio is working on some new stuff. Pretty stoked about that. They've already released two singles, so check those out as well. All right, well, I think that's going to about wrap it up for this week. Gentlemen, I would like to thank you for joining me and hosting this week's episode here at Kemp's. Take a drink. And
damn it, I forgot about that.
This is
shit, fuck, piss, cock, asshole, dick.
There we caught up.
George Carlin.
Got him caught up.
George Carlin.
They just finished their drink, I think. That's what happens. If there's five squares in a row, you have to finish your drink.
And get another one.
And this is last chance opportunity. Is there anything else you guys want to plug before we bid the Drunkomaniacs adieu?
July 8th, Lexington Street Fest. Matthew Curry, the Steepwater Band. It's going to be pretty badass. Come out.
Great music, good beers. Hopefully a nice summer night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got 6 days' notice to get your ass here, so clear your calendar, get a babysitter.
Grab that flight from California.
Goddamn right.
It's only $10. Yeah. It's easy.
Get an Uber driver. Do they have Uber in Lexington?
They actually do.
They do. Yeah.
Wow. I have taken
Uber from Bloomington to Lexington before.
You don't have a fucking stoplight.
Like
$14. Uber will stop there, goddamn.
That's not bad at all.
No, it's
we took it prime time and it was like $28.
Prime time?
Super decent.
Okay. Well, there you go. You got no excuses now. So we will see you here partying in the street, listening to some fantastic music, and drinking some amazing beer. All right. Well, this is The Voice signing off saying, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production. Produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.